Today's scripture reading is from 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in his divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from getting ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God. You may be seated. Good morning again. Welcome to Living Water Church. Good to be all together in this unique setting. Sitting around tables might be a little bit uncomfortable. You're probably sitting in a place you don't usually sit because that's not how we usually have it set up. And so God can use that, getting us a little uncomfortable to move us and nudge us in a place that maybe we weren't planning on going. But this morning is the National Back to Church Sunday. And so this is the Sunday that we kind of naturally say, hey, it's time to get out of that summer mode and get into the fall, schedule, school schedule, get back into church and back into serving. And then also today is our rally day. So we talked a little bit about that. And we have all these teams out here and their food trucks. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that more in a moment. But this morning especially, we're starting this new series called The Not-So-Secret Sauce. And where we're just taking a look at how God wants for you and the life he wants you to live and the being able to walk in the power of the Spirit, all of that is a lot more accessible to you than you may think it is. He is not trying to keep us in the dark on how to live a successful, power-filled spirit life. He wants you to have and know his best for you. So as we think about secrets, you know, I wanted to kind of play on that word a little bit, and there are very few fast food meals that are as iconic as the McDonald's Big Mac, right? So we're going to get you hungry today. If we haven't already with the food idea in a little bit, I'm going to talk about some fast food secrets, all right? And so the Big Mac sandwich, it's been around for more than 50 years, and it's still one of the most popular items on, the menu. In fact, the sandwich, it has its own jingle, right? Many of us know it. Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a... I knew you knew it. So the truth is that the burger itself is not that much different than the other sandwiches they have at the Golden Arches. What makes this one famous is its special sauce. And originally, they called that the secret sauce before they changed it to special sauce in 1974. And to today, this special sauce is kept hidden, the ingredients, from public knowledge. In fact, to prevent employees from stealing the recipe, there's actually a non-disclosure agreement that has to be signed if you make this special sauce. And the sauce is delivered in sealed containers to each restaurant location. So they just take it very seriously. They don't want anybody to know what's in there. And some other ones you think of, you know, KFC's special recipe for its finger-licking fried chicken that has 11 special herbs and spices. Or how about Bush's baked bean recipe that only the owner knows about, but his golden retriever dog, Duke, keeps trying to steal it. Anyone seen those commercials? Those are kind of old, so that kind of dates us, you know, those of us who have seen those. But, you know, so I'm just kind of curious. Anyone in here have any family secret recipes that you are not allowed to share with anybody but your family? Anyone have that? You know, grandma passed down, great-grandma passed down how to make, you know, certain special meal, and you were asked on penalty of death if you ever shared the secrets in that recipe. Okay, some people, that's a big thing. Well, you know, as we think about these secrets, you know, chefs, they kind of have these secret recipe books. They're the famous chefs, where they keep it under lock and key because they don't want any way for these to get out. It kind of is their defining, you know, their career. You know, God is not like that. You know, sometimes we think that God is kind of keeping this information. You know, we keep stumbling, we struggle maybe with a particular temptation, or we just struggle to follow this God's will to try to find it, and we just kind of think maybe this is all some sort of secret, or some sort of mystery that you have to figure out. But that is not how God wants us to view this at all. It's right there. God has given us clear instructions all through the scriptures of how to live a life that's connected to him and empowered by him. And the Bible's just full of this kind of instruction, but I think one of the most clearest passages of this we find in 2 Peter that we just heard read for us. Well, Peter is writing to the early church as a way to help them grow in their faith and understand all that God wants for them. And so let me just kind of break this down just a little bit. Looking at this passage again, 2 Peter, the first two verses of this passage, verse 3 and 4, says his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. We already have it. If we get this relationship, we already have it. We have it already inside of us, the Holy Spirit, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature, through his promises. As we live them out, as we claim them, we're able to connect with God's divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So Peter's telling his readers, don't spend your time feeling like you somehow have missed out on a secret that others have figured out. Don't be tricked into believing that you are not equipped to live a godly life. And so Peter makes this bold statement by saying that we have everything we need for life and godliness. You already have all the ingredients you need to have a vibrant faith if you've accepted Jesus into your life. God's power has been placed inside of us. And all we have to do is awaken to it. So during the time Peter was writing this letter, there was this sect of people that called themselves the Gnostics. All right? And so these Gnostics emphasized that there was a secret knowledge of the things of God that superseded the orthodox teachings and traditions and authority of the early church. If you just were in the in crowd, you could discover these secret things that would allow you to do things that no one else can do. And they believe that unless you had this elusive knowledge that they had, then you were just kind of a lower second-class citizen Christian. And their teaching was really dangerous because it took away the supremacy of Christ's death and resurrection as all that you needed to be made right with God. And so that's where Peter was coming from, with this atmosphere of, is there a secret? Maybe they're right. So thinking about secret recipes, you know, how many of you enjoy cooking? Any people just love to cook? All right, take a picture of all those who love to cook. You know, that was a secret. That was, you know, a trick question. But anyways, my wife Cheryl is an amazing cook. I'm just very blessed. I put almond milk in my cereal, and if I'm desperate, I'll add a bagel maybe with some peanut butter. Okay, that's kind of my now limited understanding of cooking. But under that limited understanding, I do know that there's basically two types of cooks. One that likes to follow a recipe step by step. You do everything exactly as the instructions say. And one who likes to just make it up as you go. You know, just close enough. All right? And so, you know, I think Cheryl kind of does both. I think she leans towards the creative side of cooking. So if you like to cook, you know, how many of you prefer to follow a recipe just the way it's written? How many recipe followers are there in here? If I was going to cook, that's what I got to do. Because if I get creative, you're not going to like it. I'm pretty sure. All right? How many people prefer the creative side of, you know, all right. So, you know, some claim that's the true cook. I don't know. But if you know, Peter tells us that through faith in Jesus Christ, we truly do have all these tools and ingredients we need to love God and serve others and overcome sin and grow spiritually and live this faithful life that we're called to. And many Christians, they just kind of get frustrated because they think that they need more of God's promises or of love and grace. They need something they just don't have, and that's why they keep stumbling. So hear me today. Each of us, we have everything that we need. We need to quit relying on our own power and learn to trust in God's divine power to transform us. If you're a believer in Christ, it's already in you. So Peter continues with instructions for this full life in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and through 8. He says, for this very reason, make every effort. Doesn't say make a few efforts. Make efforts until you get to a certain age that you can stop. You know, he says to make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will keep you from stumbling and struggling. So, you know, do you notice that, the way that Peter kind of puts this together, doesn't it kind of sound like a recipe? Put a little of this, put a little of that, put in a bowl some melted dairy-free butter, preferably two eggs, flour, sugar, and, you know, you'll end up with maybe some peanut butter cookies or some kind of cake. And so there are a number of items that we're invited to add to our faith, add to what we believe about God and are putting into practice about our faith in increasing measure in order for us to be effective in our knowledge of, in our relationship with, Jesus Christ. So what is the first ingredient then in this not so secret sauce? Peter says, add to your faith goodness. So that's our theme today. This word goodness, it comes from the Greek word arete. And arete is an active word that means more than just being someone who avoids doing something wrong. There's a lot more than just not doing something. There's a doing part to it. In fact, arete describes someone with virtue or moral excellence. This person is someone who does gracious things, who does acts of goodwill, unapologetically for everyone to see. And Peter calls to add to our faith real and intentional acts of pure goodness that will be a blessing to those who are around us. And this is the first ingredient to the full life of God. It's not a secret. But many people never make the effort to do good in the world. Many Christians would kind of say, you know, I believe in God, but I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to be myself, and I'm going to insulate myself from the world. And you miss out the whole point of what a Christian, about Christianity, having a relationship with Jesus. We're adding to it goodness. And this is actually really sad that so many people never take this step, because perhaps the reason this is the first ingredient and the recipe is because it's actually fundamental to what it means to be created by God. See, you were created by God to do good. Paul picks up this idea of goodness as he explains why God went to such great lengths to save us through Jesus Christ. The letter to Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So first we're reminded that these good works that we do, it's not what saves us. We can't earn this relationship with Christ. There is nothing that can earn forgiveness. It is a free gift you have to accept. You have to take that into yourself. You have to ask for it and accept it. But it's a free gift. You can't earn it. Okay, so that's the first thing he lets us know about. And so that free gift was a costly gift, though, for God. You know, Jesus had to pay the price for our sin by dying on that cross and then raising from the dead 3 days later. He won our freedom for us because we are his masterpiece. Some manuscripts or translations say we are his handiwork. Okay? We're his masterpiece. God made us and designed us in such a way that we can fulfill plans that he has for us to do good in the world. Plans he made long before we were ever born. So I want you to think for a moment about light and a light bulb. You know, when all you have is natural light during the day, you know, productivity is kind of limited, right? You know, you can only do things during the daylight if you don't have one of these. Once it gets dark, it's pretty hard to do things. And so light bulbs change the world by allowing us to become active at night. And according to historians, 24 people were instrumental in inventing the incandescent lamps throughout the 1800s. But Thomas Edison is credited as the primary inventor because he created a complete functional lighting system, including a generator and the wiring, as well as the carbon filament bulb like this one that we have up in the picture here. Back in 1879, and the light bulb was the handiwork of Mr. Edison. And there have been countless of benefits and endless good that have come from this creation. And like the light bulb, God created you with endless opportunities to bless the world that's around us. And God planned these opportunities a long time ago. And our job is simply to be available to be used. To be willing to say yes when the prompting of the Holy Spirit comes and nudges us. But how do I find the opportunities for good, you might ask? Theologian Frederick Buechner once said, "The place God calls you to is the place where the deep gladness, your deep gladness, and the world's deep hunger, where those two things meet." I mean, I really like that quote, right? Another way to say this is that God created you with certain passions and interests and abilities. And where those passions, interests, and abilities, where those meet our community's needs, that's where God is calling you uniquely to be. So that means we got to kind of do some self introspection. How has God wired you? What are your passions about? What do you find that you're good at? What do you have that you could offer the world? You know, when you can answer those questions, then all you need to do is look for ways that the design of God within you can be used to bring good into the world, and that's where the call is. You know, I met a man once who was a very talented builder, and he was a successful contractor, and he decided one day to go on a mission trip to rebuild after a massive hurricane that ripped through the South. And once he was there, he got hooked on building and constructing with a greater purpose than just financial gain. And he felt himself come alive by adding this goodness to his faith. Now he has a nonprofit where he builds homes for the homeless. I know of a mom whose kids are now out of the house and they're in college and a couple of them are married and she's a retired teacher, and so all this new time on her hands, she's created an after-school program for at-risk kids in her neighborhood, and she's discovered, you know, the good that God had planned for her a long time ago. When you think about organizations in our country, the YMCA and the WCA, how they got started, and the Salvation Army, how it became an organization, how places like Moody Bible Institute became a reality, or how Love in the Name of Christ, or Ortonville Community Emergency Fund, OSEF, Samaritan's Purse, with Operation Christmas Child, how these organizations became something. What was someone who saw a need that they were passionate about, and they looked for ways to meet that need, and others joined them in the task in these places, got started. Regular, ordinary, everyday people like you and me, taking a step of faith and took action. And this is not a secret that God is keeping hidden from you. He wants you to discover how everyday people like you and me are just taking this practical goodness that he has placed inside of us and putting it into action. So here are just a few questions for you to consider. As you consider, where's God taking me in all this? First question would be, what do people say I'm good at? Sometimes we think we're good at stuff we're not good at. So what do people tend to say? You're pretty good at that. Second question, what is something that I feel most alive doing? Or another way to put it is, what gives me energy and excitement as I do those things? Third question, what is a need within my family or within the community, my neighborhood, or even in the world? And then question four, what is something that God cares deeply about? And as those things intersect, that is where the full life of God is found. So first, you already have all the ingredients that you need for a vibrant faith. Second, you were created by God to do good. And so third, then, is to just start cooking. A good chef does not waste time in the kitchen. They know there's a lot to accomplish to get that food from the stove to the table. So let's not waste time in doing good in this life as well. A friend shared with me many years ago that he found himself stagnant in his life. He'd grown up in the church. He believed in God. But he'd kind of grown bored with the things of God. And he's starting to feel like there wasn't any use in following Jesus. And so as he was struggling with these emotions, he was trying to figure out what he should do. And he met with his mentor one day for coffee. And this mentor told him something that just turned that light bulb on for him. It just kind of changed his whole life. Because after this friend had shared some of his frustrations with church and his faith, his mentor told him, he said, you know all the right things to know about the Christian faith. The problem is that all that knowledge has gotten stuck in your head, and it's never made it down to your heart and then to your hands. And so he encouraged my friend to offer God his whole life. Just all these frustrations, all these things, but give it to God and ask God to use him. And so he thought, well, it can't be that simple, but I'll just go ahead and try it. And it was not long after he prayed that he began to find this spark in his faith. And this desire started to grow to serve God by serving others. Sometimes we need someone who loves us enough to point us in the right direction. Or sometimes we just need an example for us to follow. Probably the best example we have, Jesus, set the example as one who knew the reason for why he had come to this world. He lived his life with incredible intention because of it. Fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He preached the good news of the coming kingdom. Jesus says it this way in John chapter 6, verse 38. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. When John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, sent his disciples to see if Jesus was really the Messiah, Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 5 and 6, the blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf here, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. Jesus came to do the will of his Father and to accomplish the good that he had sent him to do. So to start this, to begin this journey of adding goodness to your godly faith, one just easy step to begin is to think of one thing you can do this week. that would do some good in the world? What is the one thing, instead of thinking great, big, huge, gigantic picture, what's one thing that God might like for me to do that would bring some good into this world? And then pray for God to give you an opportunity, and then take full advantage of that when they come. It's not a secret sauce. It is available to everyone if we're just willing to do that, to take that step, to go that extra mile to bring good into the world. And one great way to do this process is by joining one of our ministry teams here at the church. And that's what this day is all about, is helping you have a team to do goodness in the world. And so we've got four teams here that you've served, that Patty told us about at the beginning of the service. And so maybe, you know, what would it be that takes your unique personality and connects it with one of these teams? I mean, do you like to connect with people? Our Connect Ministries over here on this side, you know, we have three of them. We have, and before I get to that, let me just kind of talk about all our teams. So we have our Connect team, and they have three ministries. We've got the Grow team, and it's got their three ministries. We have the Serve team, and they have three areas of serving. And then we have our Support team, which also has three teams. And so as we kind of go through it, do you like to connect with people? There are three teams then in our Connect teams. There is the Hospitality team. And that team just seeks ways to make people more comfortable when they come to church. That includes the coffee ministry and the greeters and ushers and how we decorate our church. All of that has to do with hospitality and part of that team. We also have the Nurture team. And they look for ways to strengthen and encourage those who are already a part of our church. They are the Nurturing team. And then we also have our Connect team. They look for ways to start groups outside the church, or groups that people who are from the outside of the church might connect with. Maybe it's an interest. It could be walking. It could be crafting. It could be going to a restaurant and eating. There's all kinds of things, but we create this team, this connection group of people from our church, of people who aren't from our church, and you just enjoy life together doing this thing that you enjoy, and you put some scripture in it and some prayer in it, and the hope is that it will be, our relationship with Jesus will just be an infectious to those who make this a part of their life, that Connect group. And so if you just enjoy connecting with people, maybe one of these teams would be a great way for you to add goodness to your faith. Or do you like to help people grow in their relationship with Jesus? The Grow Ministry, they have three teams. There's the Prayer team, who prays every week for the needs of our church, our community, the nation, and the world. And they meet here on Wednesdays at 11 o'clock. And then we have the Worship team. And that includes the technology of our services. It includes our praise band. And then we also have the Grow team. And that includes all the children and teen and adult teachers, Bible study leaders, their helpers, all those who are part of helping us be discipled and grow in our faith. And if you like to help people grow in their relationship with Jesus, maybe one of these Grow teams would be something that'd be perfect for you to add goodness to your faith. Or maybe your personality is a little bit more that you just love to serve people. Our Serve team includes those who like to do local service through organizations like OSAF and Love in the Name of Christ, connecting with our public schools in different ways. You know, I mean, there's some people who prefer regional service opportunities, like maybe Grace Center of Hope in Pontiac, or the Power Company Kids Club in Flint in Detroit, and those who really enjoy doing missions outside of our state. Like when we went down to Florida to help for the recent hurricane, or our mission trip coming up to the Dominican Republic in February. If you enjoy serving others, then maybe the Serve team would be a perfect fit for you to add goodness to your faith. Or our last team, our Support Ministries. Our Support Ministries include the Communication team. They put together the monthly newsletter and the e-blast, the church's website, and manages our Facebook page. All the ways that we try to communicate what's happening in our church. We also have a counter team. You know, they help, they do the counting of the offering each week. And then we have the building and property management team. And they do everything to keep these buildings and properties looking so well. The mowing of the grass and the trimming of the trees and the sidewalks and just keeping the building looking nice and weeding. There's just so many people that give so much of their time on that team. If doing kind of some of the behind-the-scenes kind of thing just really is part of your makeup, maybe that's the team that you should be about of. Do any of these teams connect with your passions, interests, and abilities so that you can have a team that helps you do good in this world? That's what it's all about today. And I believe with all my heart that every adult who calls Living Water their church home should be on at least one team. We have some that are on several teams because they just enjoy serving and being a part of the ministry of our church. I think from the youngest adult to the oldest adult, everyone should be on a team. And I know we all go through different life cycles. Some people, just life is just crazy busy. And I get that. And sometimes it's a challenge to find space in your life so that you can serve. But I think God expects us to create that space. I also know that we're all in a life cycle. And so we get older. And then there's things we just can't do that we used to be able to do. But everybody can be on the prayer team. I think that ought to be the largest team in our church. It's the most important team, in my opinion. Nothing happens of good without prayer. And I create a prayer list every week. I put it back in the back that has the prayer requests. And if you can't be here on Wednesday, you can still take that list. We open up the historic sanctuary so you can pray on Thursdays any time in the day, and that list is in there. Just finding a way that we can do good in this world by getting on a team and finding your personality, things that you enjoy, and doing them for God. So my encouragement for you today is I hope that you'll stay after church. I know we tend to have these crazy busy schedules. We got to get to the next thing. But I hope you have some time just to enjoy some food. Each one of these teams have some unique foods that you can get. They all have different ways that you can get information about what they're doing and how you can connect with one of their teams. I hope you just take some time to enjoy each other's fellowship after we're done with this service. I think God wants to use us in some mighty ways, but we can't do all that God's called us to do unless all of us are a part of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our congregation is a unique individual giftings in many different ways, many different interests, many different passions. As we're thinking about how we might, God, how do you want me to fit into this goodness thing? As we're thinking about, is the Holy Spirit nudging me towards something? Father, I just pray that your voice would be as clear could be. That our tendency to, make excuses, pull back, hesitate, that we'd overcome that. That we just sense, okay, this is where you're taking me. This is my next thing. This is what I'm going to do this fall. May that be planted in each one of our hearts. May we all find a way to get involved so that we can increase our faith, so that we can increase our effectiveness, so that we can grow closer to you and be stronger in our relationship with you. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.